Good morning. Good morning. Great to see your smiling faces this morning at Church of the Nazarene of Fortuna. I'm so happy to be here.
Amen.
Glad to see your smiling faces. We're gonna lift up the name of Jesus, so let's all stand together, shall we? So does anybody have pain? Anyone have chains? We serve a chain breaker this morning. Amen. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ. Let's sing that together, shall we? Clap your hand with me. If you've got pain, he's a pain taker. You feel lost, he's a way maker. You need freedom or saving, he's a prison shaking savior. You've got a chain, he's a chain breaker. Sing it again. You've got pain, he's a pain taker. You feel lost, he's a way maker. You need freedom or saving, he's a prison shaking savior. You've got chains, he's a chain maker. Well, you've been walking the same old road for miles and miles. You've been hearing the same old voice tell the same old lies. If you're trying to feel the same old hole inside, there's a better life. There's a better life. And you got pain, he's a pain maker. You feel lost, he's a way maker. You need freedom or saving, he's a prison shaking savior. You got chains, he's a chain breaker. We've all suffered a lot of day in the dead of night. We've all found ourselves worn out from the same old fight. Well, the things we know that just ain't right. There's a better life. There's a better life. And you got pain. He's a pain taker. Feel lost, he's a way maker. You need freedom or saving, he's a prison shaking savior. You got chains, he's a chain breaker. You believe it, if you receive it, you can feel it, somebody testify. If you believe it, you receive it, you can feel it, somebody testify. Oh, you believe it, you receive it. You can feel it, somebody testify. Yes, you believe it, you receive it. You can feel it, somebody testify. Testify, you got pain, he's a pain taker. You feel lost, he's a way maker. You need freedom or saving, he's a prison shaking savior. You've got chains, he's a chain breaker. You've got pain, he's a pain taker. You feel lost, he's a way maker. You need freedom or saving, he's a prison shaking savior. You got chains, he's a Yes, you've got chains. He's a chain breaker. Yes, you've got chains. He's a chain breaker. Amen.
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 Jesus.
Testify that God loves you. Amen. Hey, remain standing. I'm going to read some scripture here. First of all, my name, am I too loud? I'm yelling like I normally do in Eureka. You guys have a better sound system than we do, it sounds like. I want to welcome you guys all here today. I'm Pastor Steve from the Eureka Nazarene Church, and we're here to worship with you. I told your team, hey, just take a break. We'll play, we'll preach, we'll pray, and we'll just love on you. And you love on us. Does that sound like a good idea? Oh, amen. And, you know, these people over here on this side, you'll have your opportunity. It's my mom and her friends, okay? They had to come and see her son. No, actually, some people from Eureka came who live close by. Again, I just want to welcome everybody here today. In 1 Peter 2:12, it's up on the screen here. It says, Peter writes... Well, just listen to me. Live such good lives. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits. We live in a day that everything that is upside down. What is good is not so good according to the world. What is not so good is for the world, they think that's the right thing to do. It's totally against God's ways, it appears. But you know what we're supposed to do? We're supposed to love them anyways. We're supposed to go out and just live a Jesus-shaped life. We're supposed to live the way Jesus wants to live, even in this culture, and especially in this culture. And I'm looking out here in this congregation, I see a whole bunch of people that want to do that. Amen? Well, let's have a word of prayer and let's give this service to God. Father God, we want to thank you and praise you. Your powerful transforming word has just been shared. We're going to break into it later on in this service, God. Your presence is here because... your people are here. Amen. Father, we thank you and we praise you. And we want to give you this service, Lord Jesus. Help us to take from your word today again, to be reminded again to live lives that are holy. Lives like your life, Jesus, as you showed us in the Gospels to live a Jesus-shaped life. We want to thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. We all said, amen. So remain standing. Let's cross the aisles and let's welcome each other to church today. Just welcome them. Say, I'm glad you're here. Go ahead. Especially this group over here. Get to know them.
Turn to the person beside you and say, I am glad to see you.
Glad to see you.
Now let's lift up the name of Jesus. Let's all stand together, shall we?
All right.
Feel free to clap. Feel free to give God glory in any way you'd like to. Hallelujah. Right here.
I was walking the wayside, lost on a lonely road. I was chasing the high life, trying to satisfy my soul. And all the lies I believed in left me crying like the rain. Then I saw lightning from heaven, and I've never felt the same. I'm gonna climb a mountain, I'm gonna shout out, I am a child of God. I found the road to freedom, I found the friend of Jesus, of the fire, but I saw you in the flames. Just when I thought it was over, you broke me out of the grave. I'm gonna find my light, I'm gonna shout about it. I am a child of love. I found the victory. I found the victory. I am a child of love. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I am a child of love. Yeah. Oh, I am a child of love. Yeah.
Come on.
Nothing can change the way I belong to you. Yes, I do. And nothing can separate. Nothing can change the way you love me. Nothing can change the way I belong to you. Yes, I do. Nothing can separate. Nothing can change the way that you love me. Nothing can change the way, 'cause I belong to you. Yes, I do. And nothing can separate. Nothing can change the way that you love me. Nothing can change the way I belong to you. Yes, I do. And nothing can separate. Yes, I'm gonna climb a mountain. I am a child of love. I found a way of freedom. I am a child of love. I'm gonna climb a mountain. I'm gonna shout about it. I am a child of love. I found the world of freedom. I found the truth. I am a child of love. Yes, child of love.
Give the Lord a hand. Give the Lord a hand.
Thank you, Lord.
Glory to your name, O Lord. Being a love child didn't used to be that good, but now I'm a child of love. Amen?
Amen.
Child of love of the Father, Jesus Christ. What a God we serve, huh? I look out and I see changed lives. I see people that I knew before they turned their lives over to Christ, and the smile on their faces tells it all. Amen.
Amen.
You know, but when the Lord forgives us, when I finally reach that point of really agreeing with God that I am a sinner, and when I ask forgiveness, He was waiting there with arms open wide, saying, "I forgive you, Lord. I forgive you." And it's like rain on my skin. Amen.
when I need you. Oh God, I need you. I'm walking down these desert roads, the water for my thirsty soul. I need you. Oh God, I need you. You're the biggest delight, sweet melody on my lips. Like sound of symphony to my ear. Like holy water on my skin. On my skin. Like holy water on my skin. Yes, on my skin. Holy water, like holy water on my skin. Dead men walk and say the same. I wanna know about being born again. I need you. Oh God, I need you. So take me to the riverside. Take me under baptize. Oh, oh God, I need you. Cause you're the biggest. You're like sweet, sweet honey on my lips. Like sound of symphony to my ear. You're like holy. On my skin, like holy water. Ooh, on my skin, skin, skin. It's holy water. Ooh, it's on my skin, like holy water. On my skin. God, I need it every day. It's the only thing that can ever really makes me want to change. I don't want to abuse your grace. God, I need it every day. It's the only thing that can ever really makes me want to change. No. I don't want to abuse your grace. God, I need it every day. He's the only thing that could ever really makes me want to change. Oh, I don't want to lose your grace. God, I need it every day. It's the only thing that ever really makes me want to change. Your forgiveness is like sweet, sweet honey on my lips. Like sound of symphony to my ears. Like holy water on my skin. Like holy water. Like holy water. Ooh, on my skin. Like holy water. My skin, like holy water, yeah, on my skin, because your forgiveness is like sweet, sweet honey on my lips, like sound of symphony on my ears. You like holy water. It's like holy water.
Hallelujah.
Raining down on me. Your forgiveness, Lord. we be without your forgiveness? Where would we be, Lord, without your forgiveness, Lord? But he's forgiven us of everything that we've ever done and separated us from our sin as far as the east is from the west. What a wonderful God we serve. Because he knows exactly what you have done. But I've done worse. But a pure heart, that's what I long for. A heart that follows heart after thee. A pure heart, that's what I long for. A heart that follows heart after thee. Yes, a heart that at your word, so that sin will not come in. A heart that's undivided, yet one you rule and reign. A heart that loved with compassion, that pleaded you, my Lord. A sweet aroma of worship that rises to your throne. A sweet aroma of worship that rises. That's what I long for. A heart that follows heart after thee. A pure heart, that's what I long for. Yes, a heart that follows heart. So that sin will not come in. A heart that's undivided, yet one you rule and reign. A heart that loves its compassion, that pleads you, my Lord.
And if I could have Cindy come up, did they already leave and the children come up? She already left. How about all the children? Are they here, ready to go? Just a couple? Hey, why all the kids are, how many kids are going to children's church? Raise your hand. Come on up here. We're going to pray for you. Come on up here. Come on up here. I'll pray for you. And then, man, you just go in there with full hearts and just blow Cindy's mind away and say, we're ready to learn about Jesus. So, hi, what is your name? What's your name? Maddie, hi. I love your dress. Wow. Okay. Oh, and you're awesome. She's got a shirt that says, what's your name?
Hope.
Hope has a word, has a shirt that says awesome on it. Isn't she awesome? Huh? Well, we're going to pray for you guys and Miss Cindy as you go in there. She's going to have a story about Jesus. And you just go in there and say, we're ready. We're ready, Miss Cindy, okay? Did you guys know that you're the church of today? You guys are the church of today, man. Jesus wants you to go out and tell your friends about him. And that's what Miss Cindy's going to teach you about today. Okay, are you ready? Well, let's pray for them, would you guys? Father God, I want to thank you for these kids, Lord. Man, they're great kids. Hope is awesome. They're all awesome. And you have a wonderful plan for their lives, to live for you, to live this abundant life that you have promised for them. A Jesus-shaped life, a life like yours, a holy life. So be with them and Cindy as they break open your word and have a good time hearing about you, what it is to live like you. And we thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. We all said, amen. Amen. Lord bless you guys. Go whatever direction you know you're supposed to go. I don't want to send you in the wrong direction. Well, it's so good to be here at the Fortuna First Church of the Nazarene. So you say Eureka First Church of the Nazarene. I just want to tell you, I've been connecting with the leadership here. And you guys just have a great church. You have good people who care about you. And they love you. And they want the best for this church. They want to hear and do what God has called them to do, and what you're supposed to do here. And I'll get into that here in a little bit. But in Matthew 5, it talks about prayer and praise and anointing. And God just put on my heart, you know, you've been without a pastor for a little while. And man, I tell you, you've got a great group of people who have stepped up. Okay, and you're all part of it. You're all part of the family of God, and you're all focused on what God wants you to do, and you're hearing and doing what He's telling you to do. And that is staying together. That is living a holiness life. That is living like Jesus wants you to live. That's who we are, right? We're a holiness denomination. Eureka, Fortuna, Arcata, Crescent City, we all kind of believe the same thing. We're supposed to live Jesus-shaped lives. And we know that the only way we can live that way is how? With the Holy Spirit in our hearts and lives. That's the only way we can live like Jesus. Amen? I know without Jesus in my heart, I may not be nice to you. Okay? But you're always nice to me because you have Jesus in your heart. Right? And that's the only way we can pull that loving God with everything we have and loving our neighbors ourselves. So we come from the same tribe. We're all believers in Jesus. But we come from a holiness denomination. And the foundation of holiness is loving God with everything you have and loving your neighbor as yourself. Turn to your neighbor and say, I love you. Give it a shot. I love you. Yeah. Well, in James 5 says, if anyone among you is in trouble, let them pray. Let them pray. And I know this may be uncomfortable for you, maybe not. But if you would like to pray at any time, if you're in trouble or if your heart's hurting or something heavy, you can just come up here and pray, even when I'm talking, okay? Just feel free. This is your church family. Feel free. But there's something that happens when you come up and pray. Brian sees you. Susan sees you. Lori sees you. And they begin to pray for you. And they might even come up and pray with you. So I just want you to know this altar's open, okay? So is anybody in trouble? It says, let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. There's a song by Katie Nicole that I just want you to know, this group of people heard this last week. I shared this last week, and it just meant so much to me. And I said, well, God, I mean, you want me to go to Fortuna and share this? And I'm going to hear and do what God tells me to do, so I'm doing it. All right? So bear with me, church. All right, you've heard this, but if you have trouble, if you are hurting, if you need healing, if you have a praise, I want you to do that as well. Here's Katie Nicole's song. It says, it's titled In Jesus' Name. She writes, I pray for your healing, that circumstances would change. I pray that the fear inside would flee in Jesus' name. I pray that a breakthrough would happen today I pray miracles over your life in Jesus' name. We serve a God who's powerful. We serve a God who's in your heart, speaking to your heart now. I think there's probably a couple people saying, I really want to go up to that altar and pray because I have trouble, but I don't want to make it obvious that I have trouble. Can I just say, get that feeling out of here? We left that out in the parking lot, okay? We're with family. So at any time, you're not going to embarrass me. You're not going to embarrass you. You can come up and pray. I'm not twisting your arm either. This is God's deal. If you want to pray, we'll have people come and pray with you. A Jesus-shaped life. I was wondering, what do I share with the Fortuna Church? You're going through that stage of, you loved your pastor and now you're going to be looking for a new pastor. And sometimes it feels like we're in the middle, like of limbo, like, well, what's going on? I want to share with you to continue to live a life of holiness. Continue to live a Jesus-shaped life. We pray for Mark and we pray for Becky. We pray for the new pastors that are coming, that are heading this way. But there's just a time where you just need to be together. Fred, as I talked to him, yeah, he did raise his hand. Hey, I kind of like trials a little bit because I know God's working in the midst of it. And we kind of shared a little bit about that, about going from pastor to another pastor. And there's a transition stage. But through that tough time, we just know God's hand's in it. Okay? And so what God put on my heart is for you to encourage you to continue to live a holy life. Continue to live a Jesus-shaped life. As Christians filled with God's Spirit, we can live like Jesus. Like Jesus of the Gospels. Jesus who loved God and other people. The foundation of holiness. And so I want to encourage you. And I'm just going to share today what it is to live a Jesus-shaped life. Now, there's a guy named Bob Roglin. He writes this book, and it's actually called The Jesus-Shaped Life. And 2,000 years ago, he writes about a Jewish rabbi from Nazareth, entered the stage of history and invited ordinary people like you and me to follow his pattern of life, his way of life. He gave us a new basis for our identity. You are a child of God. That's the only identity I need. Amen? That's your new identity. You gave your life to Jesus. You are his child. We walk around with this idea and understand that we are a child of God. Parent, if anybody picks on your little one, or grandmas especially, anybody pick on your little ones, they're going to have to deal with you, right? They're your kids. We're God's kids. And he's going to do everything for us. And he's going to lead us and guide us and to live the way he wants us to live. And don't mess with his kids. Amen? Jesus gave this life and this shape of life, this holiness way of living to help us to worship God. To help us what it's like to be with other people and be Jesus and be good and live the kingdom ways and with other people. And then go out and be what we're supposed to be outside this building, this group of people. A Jesus-shaped life or a Jesus-shaped rhythm to life. What is it? Well, did you know a Jesus-shaped life is a rhythm of life that is still offered to anyone who wants to hear it and accept it. Anyone who chooses to follow Jesus can follow his ways and live the way that Jesus has called us to live. Anyone. John 3:16. Does anybody know that scripture by heart? You want to stand up and say it right there. I won't pick it up. Molly, just say it. Say it. Oh, good for you. She knows her scriptures. Go ahead.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and who should ever believe in him shall not perish, but have the gift of God unto the eternal.
Oh, man, that is good. Let's give Molly a hand. That's good. If we choose to follow that way, to give our lives to Him, anybody, the Bible says, you just cry out to God and say, God, I want to follow your ways. Show me how to do it. And did you know the Gospel of Luke capsulizes this way of life that Jesus lived? This holy way of life, this Jesus-shaped life in 7 verses. Where's my Bible? Open up your Bible. Let's turn to Luke chapter 6. It's in 7 verses how Jesus lived this life. Now, it might be on the screen. Open up your phone. Open up your Bible. Turn to Luke chapter 6. And while you're doing that, let's stand up and let's read the Word of God, verses 12 through 19. We are going to, Luke writes it out for us to help us understand and see Jesus' way of life. Jesus-shaped life. Now, one of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray, and he spent the night praying to God. When the morning came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them, whom he also designated apostles. Simon, his brother Andrew, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, Simon, who was also the zealot, Judas, son of James, and Judas Iscariot, the one who became a traitor. Verse 17, he went down with them and stood on a level place. A large crowd of disciples were there, and a great number of people from all over Judea, from Jerusalem and the coast region of Tyre and Sidon, who had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. Those troubled by impure spirits were cured, and the people all tried to touch him because power was coming from him and healing them all. Healing them all. Let's bow our heads. Father God, we have read your word. God, we ask that you speak to us. Help us to take and apply your word to live out this way that you have called us to live, a life of holiness, only with your power within us, your Holy Spirit within us. Is that even possible? We thank you for your Holy Spirit in us. In Jesus' name we pray. We all said, amen, and you may be seated. Yes, a Jesus-shaped life is still offered to anyone who chooses Jesus. Jesus, I choose you as my Lord. Come into my life. Now teach me how you want me to live. It's possible. And the only way we can do that, as it says in Colossians 1:27, is to be filled and led by the Holy Spirit. It's the only way you and I are going to live a Jesus-shaped life. It's the only way that we're going to be able to live like Jesus if we have received His Spirit into our life. That means we've asked Jesus to come in, forgive our sins, and live in us. Accept what He did on the cross for us. He died and paid for all the world's sins, as Molly shared in John 3:16, so that anybody can come to Him and ask for those sins to be forgiven. He will come in and forgive you and fill you with His Spirit. First Corinthians 3:16, we see that you become His temple. He comes in and He resides in your heart. You are then the temple of the living God. And three people said amen. Can I hear an amen from everybody? Amen. Man, you have all of God walking in you. I know. It's early. But man, you have all of God in you when you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. So what is a Jesus-shaped life? A Jesus-shaped life is living Jesus' rhythm in life. Now, we all have rhythms in life, right? I was a former Fortuna boy. And in September, we went to school. But thereafter was my birthday. And then after my birthday was Christmas. And then Christmas led to a long few months, and we landed the last day of school. And then it's rodeo weekend. And Dad would barbecue some of the best meat in Humboldt County. And we all came. We all bought tickets. And we all ate. And then we all went to the rodeo. Oh, let me back up. I remember one year they had the Orange Crate Derby. And my Uncle Don built me an orange crate. the Derby, a little car, and we would go down the hill. I don't remember the hill. All I know is that my brake just barely worked by the time I got to the end. And good thing there were hail bales at the end to stop me. But now I'm not bragging, but I won. Thanks to Uncle Don and his engineering the car and WD-40. Keeping those wheels a-spinning. But we have these rhythms in life, all of us. And you're thinking, yeah, that's, I know my rhythm throughout the year. I know my rhythm throughout the day. But anyways, my rhythm would end up going back to school, right? Well, Jesus had a rhythm in his life as well. And Luke, he encompasses this life in just 7 verses. It's so cool that God would give us in the Gospels, hey, this is how I live. Just check me out. So Jesus basically had really a 3-dimension. He was a 3-dimensional Jesus. Now, I am not here saying I got Jesus all figured out. But he just had a basic way that he wanted us to see, to learn from, and to copy, and to live in that way. It's a rhythm, a 3-dimension rhythm. It's an up time, an in time, and an out time. Picture a triangle in your mind. His up time with God, his in time with other believers, his disciples, and his out time, he went out and he ministered to people. He tells us to live this way. This is the way of holiness, to love God and others. Ah, you see that? Isn't that cool? Now, I don't know if Luke had the triangle in mind, but anyways, that's what we're going to go with. But right out of the chute, Jesus' way of life sounds doable, doesn't it? It's simple. It's like a triangle. It's up and it's in and it's out. And like I said, it's only possible because if we have asked Jesus to come into our life and forgive our sins and he reigns as Lord, he's in this temple. And he empowers us to live the Jesus way, the Jesus rhythm, the Jesus-shaped life. So from Luke 6, 12 through 19, we have read the 3-dimensional Jesus, his rhythm, this Jesus-shaped life. In verse 12, we read basically that Jesus had his uptime with God. Verses 13 through 16, Jesus' second dimension was to be his in time with other disciples, other believers, which is really important. Wasn't this important today? That's our in time. And Jesus said, make sure you have your in time. Because I was blessed by Molly's testimony. Right? Weren't you blessed? Amen. I was blessed by people saying, I want to be anointed with oil. That only happens here in the end time. I'm getting off my sermon, sorry. Verses 17 and 19, and we see the final dimension of Jesus' life where he went out. He went out and he ministered to people and they were all healed. Okay? That's Jesus' rhythm, his Jesus shape. So we're going to break this down. And if we are going to live the way Jesus says, we will truly experience John 10:10. What is John 10, 10:10? The thief's purpose is to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus said, my purpose is to give you life and it to the full. You want to live a full life here, this place where God created you and I to live? Let's live like he did. He said, check me out. I know how to live here. And it's by loving my God and hanging out with one another, people who do that, and then go out and heal others and let them experience Jesus. Let them experience God too. Let's keep building this family. So Jesus had his uptime with God. As a Jewish man, Jesus would pray a daily prayer called the Shema. My daughter, Pastor Nicole, she will be preaching here in a couple weeks, I believe. She is our children's pastor, and she has taught our kids the Shema. Our kids pray that prayer. I mean, she's taught them Hebrew and Greek and stuff like that, and take it to a whole new level. But the kids know the Shema. And the Shema is from Deuteronomy 6, 4, and 5. And Jesus would pray this when he would wake up, maybe in the middle of the day. And when he'd go to bed, he said, Jesus would pray, Lord, I love you with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my strength. Most likely in the morning and the evening. And before any important event in Jesus' life, he would spend his uptime with God. He would study the Torah. he would spend his time quietly with God. As we read in Luke, he went off, didn't he? He didn't say, hey guys, come with me. He goes, no, I need my uptime with God. I need to be alone with God. Don't you like that sometimes? Okay, I like my time alone with God. Because I need that time. You need that time. Obviously, Jesus desired that time. And when he did that, he was usually prepared for something great. In Matthew 4, we read where Jesus is sent out to Temptation Mount. We call it Temptation Mount now. I went there when I went to Israel, and I got to see where, basically, where Jesus was tempted for 40 days. But Jesus was prepared there when he went there. He had spent time in the Word of God. He understood the Torah. And you know what? Every time the devil whipped on him with some time temptation, you know what he came back with? He came back with what? Scripture. Do you know where the scripture was from? We can tell where Jesus was reading. You know where he was reading from? The book of Deuteronomy. Because every time the enemy came at him with some wild temptation, I'm not going to go into them all, that's a whole other sermon, but he whipped him right back, what says in Deuteronomy it says, because he had his uptime with God. He was prepared and ready for the show, for the battle, for the takedown. Maybe for you, I don't know what your uptime looks like, but I would encourage you to pray. Start with the Lord's Prayer. How many of you get, Mom, I don't have raised hands, but Lord's Prayer is so good to pray. Pray it all the time. I do all the time. I just pray the Lord's Prayer all the time. Matter of fact, when my kids get up and we're ready, and most mornings I take them to school, because we have a school at Eureka Nazarene, Redwood Christian School. If you want your kids to go to a great school, send them that way. Anyways, we would get up, and as soon as we would get to the part, out of the driveway, we would start praying the Lord's Prayer together. And I would start, and I just let them, I love to hear them pray the Lord's Prayer. And then we'd go down and hit Walnut. We're going down Walnut. We turn on K-Love and just start praising the Lord. We start singing Holy Water, Child of Love. And then I would not sing and let them sing. Oh, so we're having our uptime with God and praying to him and the Lord's Prayer. And then, you know, this uptime consists of not only praying to him, but hearing from him. We are called to hear and do what God says. In Mark 1, it says that God says the kingdom of God is here and now. Hear and do what I say. Repent and believe is what it says. But that means hear and do what I say. You're my kids. I have a world that's broken and hurt. I need you to be hearing and doing what I say. So we hear and do what God says by praying to him and talking to him and then opening up our word. I'm not going to ask how many people read their Bible today. But I pray that tomorrow, or maybe after service, you go, I'm going to open up my word. I want you to talk to me, God. And let's say it's not really a rhythm right now, but for many, I can tell it is here. But let's say it's just something, I just want to give you something to think about. Here's a way to hear from God. Take the Bible, open it up, and write down a scripture. Just find one that speaks to you, and just hang there for a while. Ask God, say, God, what does this scripture say to me? What are you saying here? Because as you read, let's say you're reading the book of John, and you come to John 3:16, and okay, what is this saying to me today, God? That anyone, me, I can come to you, me, that's what it says. Anybody can come to you, God. Isn't that a blessing if you're having your uptime with God and hearing him, his words telling you that? And then you want to write down maybe in a journal or something, well, what does this mean to me today, God? What this means, let's say if you're a child of God, what this means is to remind you of what I did for you. I've given you new life. What this also means, I want you to go tell your friends and neighbors that they're welcome too. Is that what you're telling me, God? You're telling me to go out and tell others about you? Yes. That is an uptime. That is a time where we have with God. And that's what Jesus did. He had his uptime with God. Guys, I'm leaving you alone. I'm heading up. And it was all night long. How many of you guys have prayed all night long? I haven't. Oh, good. I knew Molly would. I'm weak. I fall asleep. But man, I try. But man, I spend that time with God. It's very important. So Jesus had his uptime with God daily, and he was ready for the days and events of battle. Now, I don't know about you or your household, but Cheryl and I, in my household, my wife Cheryl, we need to have our uptime. Cheryl and I have two little children. We've almost adopted completely, and they are 6 and 7. We are 60 and 61. We need our uptime with God. We need to hear from God. We need strength. We need to love. We need to be kind. We need to be forgiving. So we need our uptime with God. I encourage you, like Jesus, have your uptime with God, hearing and doing what he says. That is the first dimension of a Jesus-shaped life. Luke 6, Jesus shows that Jesus had his uptime, but also his end time. He spent time with his disciples. What did he do when he came down off the hill? He'd been hanging out with God all night. They maybe brought his Torah up there, or memorizing some Torah scripture, and then he came down, and he had talked with God about who he was going to choose as his 12 disciples. And he comes down, and he picks his 12. How would you like to be a part of that prayer? God, help me pick 12. The 12 are going to turn this world upside down for you. What a prayer that must have been. But he had it because he had his uptime with God. And then he came down and he had his end time with his disciples, and he chose his disciples. So Jesus had his end time with the disciples, other believers. You see, Jesus eventually came off the mountain. He didn't stay up there forever. We got to come off the mountain. We got to come out and hang out with other believers. It's so important. We need each other. I needed this today. I like my Eureka Church too. But man, I needed this today. Didn't you? Just say amen. Okay. So the second dimension of a Jesus-shaped life is where Jesus spent time with other believers. Here's where Jesus encouraged his disciples to live lives of holiness, lives just like Jesus. Jesus showed his disciples the way of the kingdom of God, to love God and other people, and love God with everything they had, and love others as themselves. Our end time with other believers is vital. It's vital for us as we seek a Jesus-shaped life. Molly needs you. In my heart, she needs you to love on her all week long. She needs the end time of her church family. She spends her time with God and her uptime. Prayer and reading God's word, hearing, doing what he says. But she came here today and she was prayed on by you. Man, this has been the best end time you've had in a long time, huh, Molly? It was good, right? Amen. Amen. So our end time is a time where we build each other up. The Apostle Paul in Ephesians 5:15-20 talks about an end time. Listen to this. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise but wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore do not be foolish but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine which leads to debauchery. Instead be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Janice, I think it was Janice, right? What did you share? You shared what God is doing, right? We needed to hear that. Get together. Our end time is where we build each other up. To hear God's word together through Bible study, wrestling with God's word. It's good to, you know, those guys who just dig into that Greek and Hebrew, you know. We just gotta listen to those guys and gals as they're breaking the word down when we're together. We need that time. It's vital for us. Sharing stories. We heard stories today, didn't we? We heard stories and prayer requests. We heard Brian about what the great work they're doing at the mission. Okay, yeah, his prayer is, man, we're going to need food. Well, God's going to bring it, but I love what you said. Hey, man, it might wake up the churches a little bit more, and we're going to have to pull together and really help the guys and gals at the mission. Okay? And that was such beneficial to be here in our end time. So important. To hear the stories. We just said there was a Celebrate Recovery summit in LA, and we sent about 10 people down there. And here's a story of what God does. John and Jesse kind of broke off from the crowd and went up these stairs. And believe it or not, someone stopped them and they said, "Hey, I think I need to pray for you. Someone was telling me, God was telling me to pray for Jays. People with the name Jay." And so John looks at Jesse, and Jesse looks at John and says, "Well, we're Jesse and John." And she goes, "Well, I'm going to pray for you." Began to pray for him. And there was just some strongholds in Jesse's life. And they began to pray. And guess what? The strongholds left. Okay? And Jesse came to our Followers of the Way group, our discipleship group, that end time, and he shared this story of what God has done. See, there's going to be some stories from Patricia and Savannah and Tammy. You're going to hear what God is going to do in their lives, and you're going to be encouraged because of your end time. This is a Jesus-shaped life. We have our uptime with God. We have our end time with believers. And then we go out and minister to those in the world. We need to go out and tell those stories to the world. Let them hear what Jesus is doing in your life. Because you know what? They're living in chaos. They're living in sin. And it's broken and it's dark and it hurts them. And God's going, "I know it hurts you. That is not my plan for you. My plan is for you to live lives and life abundantly. Living the way I live. And you will find that." But the only way they find that is if we have our uptime with God, hearing and doing what He says, our end time with one another to be encouraged and hear some stories of what God's doing, and then going out. Because Lori's going to go out in a couple weeks and she's going to tell the story of how God healed her. Like you heard Will say, "Hey man, I'm 70% better since my church prayed for me and Jesus healed me." Okay? We have that story. You have stories too. But we have to go out. This is great. This is all good, right? Our uptime with God, with our coffee and our muffin, so good. But God is saying, "Okay, your uptime's good. Your end time's good. Get out." Okay? Get out. Yeah, get out. And that's fun too. But see, we can look at this Jesus-shaped life and we can look at our lives and we can say, "You know, I'm really doing good here. I really love my time with you, God, a half hour a day, 45 minutes, whatever it may be. And I just love this time, Jesus. Oh, I love my church. But you know, God, I'm really feeling fat and sassy." And God goes, "You know, you need to get out. You need to get out. You need to get out. You need to get out and love on the people." I got a phone call from your leadership. Actually, it was an email. And they said, "Pastor Steve, should we still do the church in the park thing?" Whatever it was, you guys have the right verbiage, I forgot it. "But to go out to the park and run a park and love on the community of Fortuna?" I don't know, maybe it was you, Susan, or maybe it was, okay. And I said, "Absolutely, go out. Don't leave all this fun in here. Let those go love on the people of Fortuna. Love the people like my dad who did not have a church home. Go out there. Go to the barbecues. Sit with my dad type people and love on them. Have your barbecue or whatever you're going to do, what that looks like. Invite people in. Let them have fun with you. Tell them your stories. Go out." So, a Jesus-shaped life is a life of holiness. As the worship team comes up, it's a life of holiness. It's a life of looking at the way Jesus lived and live like Him. Jesus had His uptime with God. He had His end time with His believers and other believers. And He went out. And what does it say when He went out? Everyone was healed. Someone's life is going to be changed when you and I go out. It won't change when it's here. But this is important. It won't change if you just stay in your prayer room 24/7. Now that's good. I want you to hang out with God. That's what we're talking about because Jesus did. But until we have that uptime and end time and then go out, they're not going to see Jesus until you and I go out. A Jesus-shaped life. Fortuna Church, you're going through transition. And I call you all heroes. Because you're going through a trial, right? It's a trial. It's not easy. You're going to have to interview people and talk to them and make a decision on your next pastor. Those are trials. But any child of God that goes through a trial, you're a hero. You know why you're a hero? Because you're going to see God do something in your lives and in this church. Amen. So I call you heroes that you're going through this trial. And let me tell you, you guys are doing great. You don't need us. But yes, you do. And we need you. Other pastors are coming in here. We're just coming alongside you to love you. Today we came in. This is kind of our in and out. Right? In with my church family. But I left my church family to come here. To share stories. And I got to hear your stories. And we've been encouraged today to live a Jesus-shaped life. To make sure we continue to have that uptime with God. That end time with others to be encouraged. And then go out to the park at Roner Park, which is probably one of the coolest parks in Humboldt County. You guys are having a meal out there? Oh man, who doesn't like food? Bring them, say, even the people you don't like, invite them. Say, come on, we're going to have some food. And then just share your stories. We prayed for Molly, and she was having a tough day, but then, man, the next week she came, she was full of joy. Lori, she was hurting pain, and man, she's, wow, I feel about 25% better. Hey, we'll take it. Hallelujah. Right? Jesus-shaped life, a Jesus rhythm to life, is a life of holiness. I'm going to pray. I want you to bow your heads. Just be quiet for a moment and let's just let the Holy Spirit just kind of just speak to us for a minute here. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus, we're here. Some have come because they were invited to church. And you've spoke. God, people have come in today and they've heard about what it is to live your rhythm. For many, people here are doing that. They're living this Jesus-shaped life where they spend their time with you and they love the church and they're encouraged by the stories of what you're doing in people's lives and they go out and they tell the people at the grocery store and they tell their neighbors about you and they tell the stories. But there may be someone who just walked in saying, whoa, this Jesus-shaped life, to be able to have my sins forgiven and have the God of all creation, His Spirit within my heart. He comes in and He forgives my sin. Yes. Ask Jesus to forgive you. Ask Jesus to come into your heart now. And He will forgive you of your sins and live in you. And empower you to love Him and other people. And go out and share with everybody that your sins are forgiven, that you have Jesus in your heart. So I pray for that one or two who just needs to ask you, Holy Spirit, to come into their hearts, forgive them of their sins, and live in them. Thank you, Jesus. And Father, for the rest of us, Lord, man, thank you for this reminder of living your rhythm. Living a Jesus-shaped life. Living lives of holiness. God, I pray for us. It just seems like it's getting darker. And it seems like your return is just so close. God, empower us and encourage us to go out and talk and tell the stories of what you're doing in our church's lives. And our time that we have with you, give us those stories. Help us to share those stories. And that you, Father, would draw people to yourself and they would come to know you in a personal way. We thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. We all said, amen and amen. Let's stand and worship the Lord because Roger and the team.
Well, I've heard an old, old story how a Savior came from glory. And I've heard about Calvary to save a wretch like me. And I heard about his groaning of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. But he sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me, I knew him, and all my love is in him. But he belonged me to victory beneath the cleansing blood. I heard about his healing and his cleansing power revealing how he laid the lame to walk again and calm the blind to see. I heard about Jesus and somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me and I knew him, and all my love is due him. But he plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing blood.
Amen.
Last verse.
Matt,
you got it? Here it comes.
Oh,
and I heard
that's the most important one, man.
Oh, mansion, he is built for me in glory. And I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea. About the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there this song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. But he sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me and I knew him, and all my love is through him. Well, he plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
Amen. Amen. Give the Lord a hand. Do you have victory in Jesus? Say amen.
Amen.
With that victory, walk out of here, go out and tell the stories about Jesus and live in a Jesus-shaped life. May the Lord bless you. Have a wonderful week. Lord bless you.
Thank
I'll
you.
Be praying for you this week.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, he was a good guy. He was. He's kind of a living sacrifice. And then when he found Jesus, like,